Good morning. Welcome to today's podcast. Always awesome when we have an opportunity to talk about the Word of God. And so I thank you for joining me today. And I've got something good for you. Listen, God is doing incredible things right now on the earth, and He wants to do greater things through you. As a matter of fact, at our church, at Full Turn Church, in Hiram, Georgia, we've been talking about greater things, how God wants to do more in us and through us. As a matter of fact, we have declared that this year is the year of more. This is the year that God is going to do more in us, and He's going to do more through us. Today, I have a thought for you, but before we get into the thought and a little bit of revelation as well, I think, before we get into the thought and this revelation, I want to invite you to go and check us out at fullturn.com or check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/fullturnchurch. There are some things that you, of course, you have access to our books, to our messages. We want you to listen. We want you to learn. We want you to grow. We want you to come to a whole new level of awareness and consciousness in Christ Jesus, so that you might do all that He's called and purposed for you to do. All right. So today I want to bring back a little bit of something that we discussed in one of our past podcasts, when we talked about breaking paradigms, when we talked about how it's important for things also to be in the right context. We did a podcast called Paradigm Shift. I encourage you to go back and listen to that podcast where we're talking about a new way of thinking. God is wanting us to see things, change our old paradigms, and shift into a new way of seeing, because if we can see in a new way, then we're going to be able to do the greater things that I was talking about, the greater works that God is calling for us to do, because most of us are limited not by the ability that we have, but by the way that we think. But because we're thinking wrong, we can't do or be who God has called and purposed for us to be. Also, we've talked about context, the context of things, that if your context is wrong, then everything else is going to be wrong. If you're reading the Bible, even in the wrong context, then you're going to come out with something totally different. And that's why we have so many different denominations. That's why we have so many different religions. That's why we have what we have today in the church, is because we're looking at Scripture and we don't understand what we're reading. We're reading it in the wrong context. We don't understand what the book truly is all about, that it's about Jesus, the whole thing. He's the volume of the book. Is about Jesus, which brings me to what I want to talk to you about today, which is there's power in the metaphors, in the types and shadows and the symbols that are in Scripture. And many of us, we have no understanding of God's divine plan because the book has been shut to us. And hear this, only Jesus, the book is about Him, and only He can reveal what's in the book. He can only He can reveal what is in Him to us. And so many of us, we don't understand this. There are stories. Let me say it this way. There are stories all throughout the Bible. And when you're looking at these stories, even in the Old Testament, when you're looking, it starts with creation. And then we see the story of the children of Adam with Cain and Abel. And we see the story of the Tower of Babel. We see the story of Noah and the great flood. We see the story of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob and of Joseph, and going on into Moses and the children of Israel, into Joshua, and all the, you know, the releasing of the law back there in the wilderness, and then all that God did in bringing the children of Israel into Promised Land. And then we get into the prophets and the kings and all these things that we see, all these different stories, Elijah and Elisha, and Jeremiah and Isaiah and Daniel, and all that they're seeing, Ezekiel, all they're seeing and experiencing, and not only in visions, but in things that they're actually living through. We have so many metaphors that have been presented to us in Scripture. And what we don't understand, many of us, is that Christ Jesus is hidden in every story. He's in every metaphor. As a matter of fact, these stories, these are real people, real things. Naomi and Ruth and Boaz and David and Saul and Jonathan. And I mean, come on, we could just keep on naming people. These are real people. They're not just stories. It's not fiction. Okay? It's not fiction. God really created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. That's a real story. But within that story, let me give you an example. The story of creation, hidden within the story of creation, is new creation. And John, the Apostle John, announces new creation in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with him in the beginning. He goes all the way through it, and he says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and he takes us right into Jesus bringing about new creation. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And so we see that played out in the story of creation. For example, in creation, God creates the heavens, the earth, and all there, and he takes man that he's created, and he puts him in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden is the tree of life. In the Garden of Eden is a river that is flowing out and becoming four different rivers. It's painting for us a picture of what Jesus would do for us, because now in the original creation, God put man in Eden. In new creation, he puts Eden in man. Oh my goodness. Why? He's given us life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the tree of life. He is the incorruptible seed, and is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, and out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. See, life is in you. The rivers are in you, flowing in from this inward work that is happening in you, out forth from you. Everything that was in Eden is in you. So Christ Jesus, our Lord, is hidden in all the metaphors and all the stories. And if you see, that's how the brilliance of God. I mean, that's just how brilliant, there's not even words to describe his brilliance. That all these things that happen and really happen, he's hidden the mystery of Christ within it. And I'll tell you that there are still things in the Word that Jesus is wanting to reveal to you that's about him that we haven't seen. Think about the road to Emmaus. Jesus appears to two disciples after his death, burial, and resurrection. He appears, Resurrection Day, he appears to two of his disciples on the road to Emmaus, a 7-mile journey. He walks with them, and he is concealed from their eyes. They don't know who he is. They see him as a stranger, someone they've just met on the road. And he asked them, what's wrong? What's troubling you? And they start talking about how they thought that Jesus was the Messiah, and how things didn't go the way they wanted. See, they had their picture of what the metaphor meant, of what the story was all about. But they didn't see Jesus in the metaphor. They didn't see Jesus in the story. They didn't see Jesus in what Isaiah was saying or the other prophets were saying. They were seeing their own view of what Messiah would be, but they weren't seeing Jesus in it. And so when Jesus didn't fulfill he didn't play out the story in the way that they thought it would play out, they thought it was over. And Jesus, who they did not know was Jesus at the time, said, you're foolish. Doesn't it say in Scripture that the Christ would have to suffer all these things? And he began, the Bible says, and he began. They didn't know it was him. He began to show them all through the writings of Moses and the prophets, all that was written about him in it. In other words, he opened up the book. He showed them where he was hidden in the metaphor. and he brought himself out of it. And by the time they got to their house, at the end of the 7-mile journey, there was a completion. He'd done a complete work in them. Their hearts were burning within them. And when he sat down to break bread with them, their eyes were open and they saw that it was Jesus, and then he disappeared. See, we're on this journey with him, just like they were. We're on a 7-mile journey of revelation that he's revealing to us in our walk with him more and more of what's hidden in the story, what's hidden in the metaphor. Christ is being revealed to us from glory to glory. We're seeing, and as we see him for who he is, we see ourselves for who we are, until we finally come to a place where he is fully realized in our lives. That's powerful. So if we don't understand the metaphor, or see Christ in it, or we don't understand types and shadows, let's talk about that for a second. Because all throughout the stories, there are types and shadows of Christ. I mean, we could do this all day long, but I'll just give you some. Moses delivered the children of Israel out of bondage. Jesus would be the deliverer who would deliver his people, would deliver the world from bondage. Joshua is the one who takes the children of Israel into the promised land. Jesus is the one who's taking us into the promised land. Back in Egypt, in their bondage, they come out by the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, and they eat the lamb that they killed and put the door on blood on the doorpost. It was the blood, that last thing that happened. The blood delivered them. It brought them out. And they came out with a belly full of the lamb they ate the night before. Jesus said, if you can't eat of my body or partake of my body and my blood, you have no part of me. There's the type and shadow. They come out, they go through the Red Sea, they're baptized into Moses. When we're baptized into Christ. They go to the mountain and they get the law, and the law brings death to 3,000. Fast forward to the book of Acts. The Spirit of God comes. The law of God now is written upon our hearts through the Spirit of God, leading us, guiding us, directing us into all truth. And what happens? 3,000 on the day of Pentecost don't die. They come to life because 3,000 are saved. It's type and shadow. We see all these things through Scripture. Joseph is a type of Christ. David and Solomon, a type of Jesus Christ. King David, the king of Israel, we see that Jesus in his kingdom, we see the pattern of Jesus's kingdom, and even the ongoing worship and all that was patterned there in David's kingdom, and his presence-driven life, we see. And then we see Solomon, his son, who is the builder of the temple, and we see that Jesus is the one who is building the temple out of lively stones, because we are the temple of God, type and shadow. It's all there. Jesus is the tabernacle. Jesus is the Ark of the Covenant, and he's put everything that was in the Ark of the Covenant in us. So much. So type and shadow. If you can't see that, then it's just stories to you. You know, it's like children's stories. It's like when you're in Sunday school and you're learning about David. What you have to understand is, when you're learning about David, really you're learning about David to learn about Jesus. You're learning about Noah to learn about Jesus, because Noah found grace just like we found grace, and he's put us in the ark of salvation, which is Jesus Christ, just like him and his family went, and the righteous were preserved. We in him, we are the ones who are righteous in Christ. It's all there. It's just types and shadows. Oh my God, we could go on and on and on and on with all that's there. It's all through Scripture. Jesus is hidden within it. And then we come to symbols. Now, this is the thing that is most confusing to people, because, you know, a lot of people see symbols as being literal things. And while sometimes in the Bible, it's full of symbolism, okay? The Bible is full of symbolism. Sometimes it is what it is. And sometimes not only is it what it is, but it's all also something so much more. And sometimes it's not what we think it is at all. It is that thing that we haven't even seen or understood yet. I hope that makes sense. In other words, sometimes we read about water in the Bible and it's water. It's just water. Sometimes that water is symbolic of a greater truth. And sometimes it wasn't even water at all. It's called water, but it was always the Spirit. So that third thing I just said, we see all that all through the book of Revelation. In other words, we see a lamb pictured. The first thing that he begins to see is a lamb in the throne room, and there's a rainbow that's over the throne. There is not a literal lamb in the throne, in the throne room, okay? So if you're expecting to get to heaven and see a lamb up there in the throne room, you've missed it. It's a symbol, because the lamb that he's seeing is the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world was framed. The lamb is Jesus, okay? The rainbow over the throne is symbolic of many different things. Number one, God is light. Light is revealed in the rainbow in seven different colors. There's seven spirits of God. It speaks of the manifold wisdom of God. And more than that, we understand that the first rainbow that we see, the law of first mentions, the first rainbow we see in Scripture is the covenant that God has made with man to never destroy him again. As a matter of fact, in Isaiah 54, the prophet says, for a time, for a short time, you saw my wrath, but now it's like the waters of Noah to me. I'm about to bring mercy. I'm going to show you compassion, and it is not my heart to destroy you, but it is my heart to love you. In other words, what he's showing that the first flood brought destruction, but I've put this sign in the sky that I'm not going to destroy you in this way, because the flood that I'm wanting to bring is now a flood that will bring life, that will bring mercy, that will bring grace, that will bring love, that will bring you out of darkness and into light. So we see these symbols are not literal, they're figurative. They speak of something greater. And so if you can understand the metaphor, if you can understand the types and shadows, if you can understand the symbols, then you're going to see God's divine plan unfold before you. Now listen, because Jesus often spoke to people in parables, but what was hidden in the parable was the truth. And many of us, we see the parable, but we're missing the greater truth in the parable. And some of us, we've totally missed it. And we're talking about all these things like in a way that we see it, because we have totally missed the truth that's been hidden in it. And because of that, our theology's messed up. Our doctrine's messed up. We're teaching things that are wrong. We're preaching things that are wrong. We've come up with all kinds of stuff that has taken the church in a total weird direction because we don't see the revelation of Jesus Christ in the text. We just see what we see. And let me talk to you about how we see. We see through filters. Everybody, unless the Holy Spirit deals with your filter, and that's why we have to have the mind of Christ so that we see as he sees. We're all dealing with filters, and the problem is we have many filters in our life, filters because of past experiences, past hurts, our upbringing, our culture, where we live. Let me give you an example of that. Most Americans see God through an American lens. And so it's like God loves Americans, but God doesn't really love everybody else. Everybody else God's against. Or God loves America and he loves Israel, but he doesn't love any other nation. I'm going to tell you that is messed up. We'll put God and guns in the same sentence. Why? Because it's our political persuasion. God and guns has no place in the same vein of thought. Okay? But we do that because that's the way we see things. It's through our filters. It's through our political filter. It's through the filter of our own agenda. It's through the filter of our upbringing. It's through the filter of our culture. But there's only one culture that we should have. It's the culture of the kingdom. Jesus came to bring us out of the things of this world, to remove all the poor filters from us, being renewed in the spirit of our minds, being transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we might prove what is the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. We are to be changed into his image and likeness, which means we deal with the poor filters of this world. We're not conformed to the pattern of this world, but now we are transformed into his image, seeing as he sees. And now we're seeing through the eyes of God, through the filter of the Holy Spirit, which is when we see through the filter of the Holy Spirit, he makes everything come alive and we begin to see it for what it really is. But if you've got your poor filters, then you're going to see things wrong. You're going to see this world wrong. You're going to see different groups of people in the wrong way. You're going to see you're going to see the Bible and the scriptures wrong, just like the scribes and Pharisees. You're going to misinterpret. You're going to miss it. Because only Jesus can open up the book, which means only his spirit can lead you, guide you, direct you into all truth, and help you to know the things that he has said. That's the truth. And so we've got to get into a place, leaders, preachers, influencers, where we're seeing into the text Christ, Jesus, the Lord, and what his true purpose is in all these things. We've got to change our filter. We've got to see things the way God would have for us to see it. Let me deal with a filter right now. There's only one chosen nation. It's those who are in Christ. And so if you think God loves any other nation out there more than he does anything else, listen, he gave us Jesus Christ. All who are in Christ are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen, we are that chosen nation, but God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. God loves all the people of the world. We used to sing a song when I was a kid. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not against any nation because he's chosen through Jesus Christ to draw all the nations to himself. And so we've got to start seeing all people as being important, all people as being valuable, and all people need Jesus Christ. Okay, I think I've given you enough today. But let me give you the practical step. Here's the practical step. From now on, when you read scripture, marinate in it and pray. Slow down and ask the Lord, show me yourself in these things. If you're reading a story, show me yourself in the story. I want to receive from you. Slow down to the speed of the revelation that God is wanting to pour out in your heart and pour out in your life, because he wants you to hear, so that you will have eyes to see, so that you'll have ears to hear, and so that you'll have a heart to receive. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Keep on praying. Keep on believing. Keep on studying to show yourself approved. Keep on listening to what God is saying, because God is wanting to take you to a place you've never been before. God bless you. I love you. And I believe God has a wonderful plan, purpose, and destiny for your life.